Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And this is mind power in what I consider a supreme level of understanding that is going to be able to benefit you and maybe someone that you love. But more importantly, we're going to be talking about real experiences. And if you're like me, you're always interested in the stories that people have to share. And of course, I do this frequently. The reason I do it is because it means a lot to me. People's stories affect our thinking, how we live our lives. It gives us hope many times, depending on what we are listening to. And that is what's so significant about my guest today, Robbie Holt. The book that she has published is called Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. Now, this is about her husband, Gary Holt, who passed away in 2007, and he was quite young. He was in his late 50s, and he was a physicist. I want to welcome Robbie Holt to the show. Robbie, it's a joy to have you on the air with me today.
Thank you, Don. It's my pleasure.
Now, your husband, Gary, was an award-winning physicist. He was diagnosed with a progressive condition of multiple sclerosis. He ended up, and I think that was in the early 80s when he was diagnosed with it, and then by the late 80s, he was in a wheelchair. And then in 1994, he was told by his doctors, you have 2 weeks to live. When you hear things like this, you go, oh.
2 years, not 2 weeks, 2 years.
2 years, yeah. Not 2 weeks, thank you. There's this overwhelming feeling of, I would use the word oppressiveness, but that didn't hold true. Now, Robbie, how did you and your husband get together? Before we get into his story, how did the two of you link up?
Well, that's a bit interesting as well. Gary was a triple Scorpio, which I'll tell you, he's a very determined man. When he came back from the outback, he realized that he was a gifted healer and had extraordinary abilities that the Aborigines had taught him. And one of my sisters, I come from a big Catholic family, which means we were a really good Catholic family because we had so many kids. One of my sisters was going blind, and she had only a little bit of peripheral vision in one eye. And I really didn't know him that well, but he said, send her out, and I think I can help her. She lived in the Midwest. And in 4 days' time, he healed her of this very rare disease that no doctor had been able to help her with. And
wow.
I realized that he did that for me. And so that's when I just, the switch flipped, and I fell in love with him instantly. And it's a fabulous way to get the girl.
Well, no kidding. I mean, this is a delightful story. As you said, Gary is a very determined person. Now, when you think of a physicist, I know I've talked to some. My Lord, they are so left brain. If you try to tell them that red can be made into a particular shade of pink, they have to be able to go from A to Z and from Z back to A and just know exactly how it's done. And I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. But I've encountered this, being in the work of mind for so many years. My husband has often joked with me. He said, Donna, you don't have a logical bone in your body. I said, that's not true. He said, oh, yes, it is. I can go, and he's like a triple Virgo. He goes from A to Z, from Z to A. He can tell you how he got there, how long it took him, exactly what size the letters were, blah, blah, blah. He said, you go from A to Z, and you don't know how the heck you get there, and it works. He said, no, you do not have a logical bone in your body. And we've been married for 37 years.
Oh, congratulations.
So,
yeah.
Thank you. But I just have to laugh at this because, by golly, it was as if the universe slapped him with this physical condition so that he'd wake up to really who he was. Am I correct?
Yes, that was clearly his soul's mission, was to teach us what he learned, but he had to go through pretty tough times to teach us this really strong lesson. But yes, exactly right about the physicist. I mean, he was very black and white. It does not exist unless you can prove it to me. And he would tell me later that that's the best thing that the Aborigines taught him, was that there's a world that exists. It's gray. You can't prove it, but it still exists. And that was a huge shift for him.
Mm-hmm. A very big shift. Now, I want to go into a little bit of what happened to him, because he was diagnosed with MS. And in your book, and you said that he wrote the major portion of this book when he came back from Australia, when he was on the plane. But he was given a medication called prednisone.
Yeah.
And many people listening to the show are going to be familiar with that term. And it's a steroid. And it has very bad side effects. And it really hit him quite hard.
Yeah.
He was using a liter. One liter of this stuff with an IV. That was beyond me.
Yeah.
Who would prescribe that much?
They were desperate. You know, they were trying to keep him alive. They were trying to keep him functioning. You know, he was this globe-trotting physicist, very, very determined, active man. And so, you know, Triple Scorpio, he was determined to find answers, and he did whatever he could, and that's what the medical science offered him, was a liter of prednisone when he was in the hospital sometimes.
I'm surprised his brain continued to work.
I know. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, quote unquote, the strange coincidence that ended up having him take this phenomenal journey, which anybody in their logical mind would say that's the stupidest thing in the world for you to do.
You know, that's a great question. How do you get a physicist out into the remote desert with a tribe in Australia? He had been told by the doctors that he had 2 years left to live. And honestly, the Aborigines told him he really had 6 months. And he went into a jazz bar that night to kind of soothe his soul. And he ended up, it was very crowded, and he ended up sitting next to a naturopathic doctor from Australia. And when he just told his story to her, she said, I have someone that I think can help you, but you have to really open up to possibilities beyond what you're not used to. And she told him how the Aborigines, the remote Aborigines in the outback of Australia, had remarkable healing abilities. She happened to know how to get a hold of one of the tribesmen who had an apartment in Brisbane, because he had a child in the city. So he would traverse the village and the city. And so she put him in contact with this Aboriginal. And when he called, the Aborigines said, "What took you so long? We've been waiting for 4 months." And Gary
Amazing.
Had just discovered about them the day before. So the journey began. And nobody would go with him into the outback. They just thought that was just insane. I mean, really, like you said, it's just crazy. But he's very determined, and it was his last desperate action. He had 2 kids that he was determined to try to survive a little longer for. So he went into the outback, but to be honest, he didn't think he would come back. He didn't. He brought a voice-activated tape recorder with him to tape what was going on so that there would be evidence of what happened. He really didn't think he'd come back. And the beautiful part about that is we took the recordings, and that's the actual dialogue in the book. So.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it has that authenticity to it, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I found extremely interesting is his attitude, because he was on a plane flight, and it's a long flight to Australia,
mm-hmm.
18 hours.
Ugh.
He's in a wheelchair. He is absolutely exhausted. He's very, very weak, and he's met by this dude, Ray. Now, I know. This guy could be a caricature.
Yeah.
He had had injuries. One of his eyes wasn't working. He had one arm that had been damaged. This was like, if you were to put them side by side, you'd say, okay, this makes about as much sense as dipping turnips in chocolate. This is someone, it looks like 2 caricatures of physically handicapped people. How
yeah.
in the world is this going to work out for the benefit of both of them?
Yeah,
Yeah. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating that a little bit.
No,
but when
no.
you look at the facts, I mean, you go, are you for real?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you have to remember that Gary was a very classy man. You know, the $600 shoes, a very $1,000 suits. He was in a wheelchair, but he was this very highly respected, classy physicist. And here he ends up with this tribesman who shows up with one arm and one eye and just shorts. And his life is in the hands of this man, not anybody he would normally put a lot of trust in. But he was, again, he was quite desperate because he didn't have much longer to live. So he trusted him. And
mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, Donna, that those two developed this beautiful brother relationship and just felt like they were long-lost brothers. And they continued, actually, till Gary passed, where they would continue to communicate telepathically until the day he died.
Well, what I think is so wonderful about this, it is a statement about how you cannot judge things by appearances.
Absolutely.
Because here you have some phenomenally gifted people. And I loved it when he became acquainted with Rose. Now, she was a very powerful healer. And she said that the big guy, God, had told him that somebody was coming from the West and they should get ready for him. Gary was the first outsider in years that was even allowed in here, into this grouping of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very small tribe. The Aborigines are very small in their tribes. It's like, you know, maybe a dozen or two. And only Ray and Rose, the two healers, had ever encountered white people before. The rest of the tribe members had never encountered a white person. The kids, the little boys, were fascinated by the wheels on his wheelchair. Little boys love wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it took him a little bit to realize this was a huge honor to be with this village, to be amongst them. They had, they were a little resistant to giving their healing secrets to a white man initially, but when they understood that this was from the big guy, that the big guy wanted their healing secrets divulged, they were so happy to do it. They were, you know. They just couldn't do enough for Gary. He felt like he had walked into true love. He hadn't
mm-hmm.
been around that kind of love before.
And that was one of the greatest lessons he learned, that to know and trust the wisdom of the heart. I'm
yeah.
telling you, when I got into this book, and it only took me a few pages, I said, this is phenomenal. This is absolutely wonderful. And I went through it, and I had to laugh at some parts, because when he found out he was eating crocodile, I mean, these little tidbits that are in here, it's like, oh, my goodness. Again, imagine the guy, $1,000 shoes, $1,000 suits, $600 shoes. All of that was literally stripped away from him, because you're in an area that gets up to 130 degrees, for heaven's sakes. Those
yeah.
clothes are going to come off pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be real humbling really quick.
Right.
You're going to wish that you had some kind of special powder to keep you dry.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is getting really down to the bare bone basics. And what an experience
yeah.
to be entering into what would be described by so many people a very primitive environment. Which it is. I mean, they don't have hot and cold running water out there.
No.
It's a subsistence type of a lifestyle, but yet they're not impoverished.
I love how they're disguised as a primitive tribe, and they're actually quite, quite advanced. I would call them fifth-dimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that illusion serves them very, very well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like how in the book, Gary says the Aboriginal people are now all colors of the rainbow, because and they have suffered so much through so much oppression. It has been hideous. However, they have survived, and they are continuing to hold sacred what they know. And I think for Gary to be given this wonderful gift and to be told, here he is. He's dying, for God's sake. And he's told that he has enough power in his body to light a city? That, can you imagine hearing that as sick as he was?
Yeah, isn't that astounding? And yet we do. We do. We just don't realize our own power.
It is just incredible. Now, Rose said something to him that I thought that was just absolutely incredible. She said, if you're to get well and stay well, Gary, you will have to transform from the inside out. We'll start by finding out which experiences and beliefs generated your MS. Now, for someone to say that to him, he's out in the middle of nowhere, it's hot as blazes, and he has a person that's saying this to him, saying, unless the root is pulled out, the weed will continue to thrive. The root of an illness, where it all began, is what carries its power, not the symptoms. When my people talk about healing, we include not only the body, but the mind, emotions, and spirit. Whoa, that was pretty heavy to dump on him.
Yeah, and it really upset him. He was pretty angry to think that he had created this, that anybody would even insinuate that. But, you know, it makes sense, and this is why the Aborigines gave us this information, because they said, you guys really don't understand how healing happens. And I think we all know people who have had tumors, or they've had a disease that they've managed to stop, and or the tumors are taken out surgically, and it just comes right back again.
Mm-hmm.
Or the disease comes right back again. It's you've got to get to that emotional root, and it's present in every illness. I mean, I had a blood transfusion that almost killed me and gave me hepatitis C, or you can say that you were in a car accident. Well, how am I responsible for that? And the Aborigines will tell you, well, it's also a soul's journey. It's a body, mind, soul. And my soul was trying to get a hold of my, get my attention and change my world, shift it up. So you've got to get to the emotional core, the real core to all of this. So I wasn't loving my body enough. There's a number of reasons why these things happen.
I think that in and of itself can create such a shift. And I'll share with you for just a moment. I have a very, very dear friend who passed away a couple of months ago. And one of the things we discussed, and she was very well versed in the mind, body, spirit understanding. But I can remember her saying to me, I am so frightened. I don't want to do anything differently. And also, she had a lot of resentment, a lot of hate, anger, you know, it just towards the end of her life, so much of that was pouring out. And I realized that she felt like she needed to be released from this experience, which was okay. But her image came into my mind when I was going through this book, because I thought maybe if she had had someone that had given her a real awareness of her own power, because she never felt her own power. And that is one of the gifts that Gary was given. In fact, they told him the reason they were spending time with him is that they saw him walking.
Yeah.
That was a mind blower.
Yeah. And it gave him hope for the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge for him was that even though, and I don't want to have a spoiler alert here, but even though they did stop the MS from continuing, they did stop it, he had so much damage from his body that he did remain challenged on many levels by the damage that had been done. So, I think the whole point of his soul coming here, despite all the growth and everything, was he was to get this information, which is so powerful, and teach others. And he spent the rest of his life really teaching these powerful techniques and then passed it on to me. And now I'm passing it on to other people and hoping that others pass it on freely to everyone else, because it's life-changing. And it's easy. It's so simple. It's so easy, but you just have to become aware of it. And then you can learn how to use this mind. The mind is so powerful, and it's the biggest factor in healing or getting sick. And so once you learn how to control that mind and use it to your advantage rather than your disadvantage, to create what you want rather than disease, it's going to change everything, and that's what we love doing.
Well, one of the points that Rose makes with Gary, she said most of us on a conscious level want to be healed. However, on a subconscious level, we may not feel the same. We may have a hidden agenda buried within, and there's often a resistance and an unwillingness to change because change runs against the human mindset. We sabotage ourselves.
Right.
And that in and of itself is extremely potent. And I can think of a couple of people that I'm aware of right now that have become engaged in a physiological condition that came from years of sabotage.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you'll say, logically, it doesn't make sense. But emotionally and spiritually, I find many times there's a lot of resentment that people carry. And like you said, with the physical body, we abuse it. We don't honor it. We don't respect it. And we beat it down. And then it can only operate. It's like a car. It can only operate for so long if it's not maintained. So this is something that is so important, the soul and the spirit of someone. And that gift, and so much of what is in this book, is just so powerful. And she gave some points in here. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, he finally came to a positioning of peace that it was okay to die, which I thought, whoa, that's liberating.
That is liberating, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. No, I so totally agree with what you were just saying, and that, you know, there's, you've got to have that willingness to move forward. And you don't have to know what it's going to be, how you're going to get there, but to just kind of loosen up that imprisonment and that hold of the mind that tells you you can't or whatever. But just be willing to move forward, not even knowing what that's like yet or what that's going to entail. But if you're still on a subconscious level afraid to move forward, like your friend who was afraid to change, that's just a normal human reflex. But it's just that you have to start waking up to how the mind is imprisoning you. And I love how the Aborigines are in this remote outback environment. There's nothing there but the mind. So they learn how to direct that mind. They learn how to work with that mind. They learn how to work with the other side of the veil. They have no distractions. Look at our lives compared to theirs. And so they have really learned how to use that mind in a really powerful way. And the first step to healing, they'll tell you, is you need to be willing. And there's a lot of us that have deep subconscious beliefs that are holding us back. Maybe you don't want to be responsible. Maybe you like the identity of being wounded, being the victim. So you need to start paying attention to that. And like we were talking about, get to the root of this stuff and pull it out. And reprogram, upgrade your operating system, so to speak.
And that, I think, is important. Now, Rose said something that I thought was very interesting. She said, never say I'm sorry, always say I apologize. And I thought, that's interesting. What's the difference in saying I'm sorry to someone and then I apologize?
Yeah, you can feel it. If you really pay attention, and that's called consciousness, you can feel the difference in those two statements because one gives your power away. There's a big difference. And so you want to start paying attention to what are you saying. It's simply showing the belief system underneath. But some words are empowering and some are going to take your power away.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference. And that was something that kind of surprised him too.
And I loved this, and I know many of my listeners have heard this before. Always be honest and true to yourself. Rose said to Gary, don't ever lie to yourself. Don't pretend that your disease isn't happening or that your life is really okay. She said, that's a form of non-acceptance. That is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. To say, life stinks. A lot of people say, oh, no, that's being negative. No, it is not. If you honestly look at something and say, I'm sorry, I feel crappy, I really am not having a good time today, that is not a bad statement.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's going to create problems. In fact, a lot of the problems that we have here in the States are that we deny things. We mm-hmm. repress it. We push it away rather than looking at it in an honest way and examining it and then moving forward in a positive fashion. But you have to certainly be aware of it before you can change it. And if you deny it, that's just another form of non-acceptance. And acceptance is one of the steps, one of the five steps. They mm-hmm. talk about how you may not like it, but you have to at least accept that it's here for a reason. It's here to change you in a very positive way if you allow it. And Gary would tell people later that the multiple sclerosis and being in a wheelchair was the best thing that ever happened to him because mm-hmm. it totally woke him up. It totally changed his world in a very amazing way. So, yeah, accept it. You may not accept it at the moment. It may be a little hard to be grateful for it, but just at least try one little step at a time, one little layer at a time to accept these circumstances and then start to try to examine why is it here? What's the message behind it? I know that when I was given a blood transfusion, it was tainted with hepatitis C, and I ended up with hepatitis C and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. Now, those have all been cured. They're all healed. I no longer have any of them following these principles that are in this book. But I needed to recognize that I, like so many other people, was pushing the boundaries all the time, totally ignoring my body, not partnering with my body, and I needed to, again, be balanced and aligned with my mind, my spirit, and my body, which is what the Aborigines teach. I think it's fascinating, Donna, that what the Aborigines know, they're one of the oldest cultures on the planet, at least 60,000 years, continuous culture. I think it's fascinating that science is catching up with what the Aborigines have always been doing. Quantum physics, for instance, mm-hmm. or theta mm-hmm. healing. I mean, the Aborigines, they just know this. And one of the best things they'll tell you is it's simple. It's very simple. Don't complicate it. That's the mind again. So there's just, I think for 115 pages, it's packed with info in a very simplistic, easy-to-read way. I just love that.
Absolutely.
There's so many little things in there.
Absolutely, Robbie. I agree with you 100%. Dreamtime, and I know we've only got a couple of minutes here. This is another segment that is brought out in the book, the use of meditation and how these people telepathically communicate with each other. And as you said, Ray and your husband, Gary, communicated telepathically for years up until the time passed. And I just think this is such a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful book. And I love this one statement that Rose gave to your husband, Gary. I respect, appreciate, approve of, nurture, acknowledge, praise, support, and thank myself. And there's more to what she said to him. That great, great tool of information. Robbie Holtz, your book, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. Your husband, Gary's journey. He passed away in 2007. What it was like for him to transform his thinking, his physical experience. He was dying. I mean, his options were next to nothing. And yet he came away being empowered to not only heal others, but to share this magnificent story. Now, for those of you listening, you can go to HolzWellness.com. That's H-O-L-Z Wellness.com. And you can find out more about this fabulous book, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. It should be in your library. It will just do wonderful, wonderful things, and the story will absolutely amaze you. We just touched on a few points. Robbie, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, really.
This is Donna Sebo. Again, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, HolzWellness.com. A wonderful read. This is Donna. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. The power of the mind. My goodness. It is something that so many of us just, we don't realize the power we have. We honestly don't realize the power we have. And so many times as we go through life, we are in situations and we feel like we're beaten down, like we just, there's no hope. God knows I've gone through a number of those. And many times we must go through change. I don't know why there is so much of an indoctrination that is put out there by society and other things that change is bad. It isn't. Change is something we all need to grow into and be willing to explore because it makes a difference. And one of the things that I wanted to mention today is that there are so many different ways of pulling yourself up and out of what you may feel is a very confining environment. One is with education. One is going to your local library. It doesn't cost you anything, maybe a little gasoline to get there. Or if you want to, you know, trim off some inches, walk to your local library. But it is opening your mind up to learning, opening your mind up to looking at different positionings or aspects of things. That is one of the biggest forward-moving things you can do for yourself. It really saddens me when people that have been in certain areas of industry and they find their jobs being phased out, changes are occurring, and they go, oh, I don't want to be bothered with this. I'm not going to be able to adapt and change. However, many times you can. But if you're like many individuals who are raised with an attitude that there should be no change, you should be able to work for a company for 30 years and get the gold watch or whatever it was. I know that's the way it was with my grandfather. My grandfather was a master craftsman. He was absolutely incredible at what he did. His life's work at the time ended up being with a railroad. And he had just a third grade education, but he always was interested in learning. With that third grade education, he worked his way up the ranks, was over people, was very successful, but was forced out into retirement at the age of 55. Well, my grandfather ended up living until his middle 80s, for heaven's sakes. That was 30 years of life. Now, he could have sat back, done nothing, and he was in a part of the country where there really wasn't very much in the way of opportunities. But being a master craftsman, he found that all of the experience and knowledge that he had, he could become a handyman, and that was basically what was available to him. An educational process wasn't available to him at the time. So that's what he ended up doing. And I'll never forget, it was a short time before he died, I visited with him. He had rebuilt an engine. He had made it to scale, not rebuilt an engine. He had built an engine it was just amazing. He had made every single screw that was on this tremendous machine, and it was in his garage. He even made the track that it was on. It was a masterpiece. A masterpiece. I was stunned when I saw it. Here was a man of incredible skill, and he put it to use. He put it to use helping his neighbors, doing other things. Money was not that big a deal to him. He had a very good pension. He was quite contented, but he needed to be productive. And I think that that aspect, where he found his own niche, today we need to remember, you can be in your 30s and laid off from your job. You can be replaced, perhaps, by a robot or something like this. But that doesn't mean that your life cannot move forward. It means that you need to think differently. So being aware of the conversation we had just a moment ago with my guest, Robbie, her husband had to go through a life-changing situation where he was literally in a no-place-to-go zone when opportunity was dropped into his lap. And his attitude was, what have I got to lose? It's an amazing story. We need to understand we don't have to get to that point of desperation. That's not a requirement. Be willing to open yourself up to opportunities. Shifting your thinking is so important. And one of the shifts that I think is vibrantly vital is that you need to take time for yourself. You need to realize that it is your dreams that you're wanting to fulfill. You don't need the approval of anybody else. It is what is most important to you. Maybe you want to make a better chocolate chip cookie. Maybe you want to make socks for the vets. Maybe you want to become a chef. Maybe you want to be whatever. There's an infinite array of choices in front of you. And many times people will say, be practical, be logical. It's just not going to have to be of that dispositioning. Be willing to invest in yourself. That is really important. And of course, I think also, when you really dig down deep inside yourself to find out what means the most to you, and that is significant, when you find out about that, then you look at where you can put yourself. You have to have what means most to you, not to someone else. How many times do people say, oh, I'd love to be like Oprah. Oh, I'd love to win a lottery. Oh, I'd love to do this. Well, that's fine, and I can't blame you for having those feelings. But that's not really you. What is it that makes you really, really happy? What is it that whenever you feel like you're doing it, there's just a joy? I was talking with someone just day before yesterday, and they said what they loved more than anything else was being out of doors and hiking. That was such a joy to them. Well, this person may well want to take young kids up into the mountains, like we have Mount Rainier here. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Introducing children to wildlife and to the environment, showing them the value of this. There are so many things that she can do. It's very difficult for her to understand she can be in her joy and know that she can also make a very good living doing what means most to her. She loves outdoor activities. I can remember one woman years ago, the joy that she felt. She was a bartender, by the way. She was a bartender, and she loved her customers, and she was a very good bartender. People really enjoyed her because she was sort of a storyteller, but she also was a very good listener, which any good bartender is of that modality anyhow. But she said to me one day, because it was a major hotel and I was doing appearances there and we'd chat when it was quiet, she said, you know, Donna, I would love, if I had my druthers, I would be outside and I would be doing gardening. I said, really? She said, yeah, that's what I love to do. I love to be out in the dirt. I love to plant things. I like to make sure that they grow beautifully. I just feel like I'm in my right and perfect place. And I said, why don't you do it? She said, oh, I couldn't make a living at it. I said, what makes you think of that? Why don't you look at going into getting some training on landscaping? Why don't you look at becoming a master gardener? And she sort of looked at me. No one had ever mentioned that to her. She had never inquired into that. Do you know, it was about a year and a half later. She ended up quitting her job as a bartender. She had followed my suggestion, taken some classes on becoming a master gardener and also on landscaping. And what evolved is that she ended up being hired by the state of Washington. And she said, I'm leaving. I'm no longer going to be here. And I said, oh, my goodness, where are you going? And she told me about her new job. And she said, I'm going to be out in my jeans and my grubbies every day digging in the dirt. And she was beaming. Now, that's the last thing in the world I want to do. But for her, that was the center of her heart's joy. And she was making a good income. And she said, I want you to know you are at the core of this opportunity happening for me. And that was just so meaningful. Remember, you can fulfill your dream. It might come about in a way that you'd never expect. But it's your dream, not somebody else's. And for this woman, it changed her life dramatically and filled her with a joy that she never got slinging cocktails. This is Donna Sebo, and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. You can call me at 888-627-6008. Now, by the way, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. It's Coaching for Caregivers. Boy, this is something so many more people are finding that this is a part of their daily life, and they hadn't planned on it at all. So Yosal August is going to be with us. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Mark Stansberry. We're going to be talking about how America needs America's energy. And we have a lot in this country. And this is something where we need to become educated about this. We need to understand that we can be self-sufficient as we were many years ago and be able, as we have had the opportunity to do for so many generations, to not only take care of ourselves but also to help others. Also out of style, Betty Schubert is going to be my guest. Oh, she is a doll. This woman is a historian when it comes to clothes, when it comes to fashion. She is so much fun, and she tells us, and she's put together her book, Out of Style. She tells us how fashions evolved and how they came in and why they went out. It really is going to be a lot of fun. So we have a great listing of guests, and remember always, you can check on those guests that are upcoming and be able to find out more about who they are, what they're doing. And just go to the show information page, and that'll be available to you. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break in just a moment. When we come back, I have a winter horoscope for you. And we're going to look at Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. So we're going to be taking 3 months at a time, and we'll give you a little insight into what is going to be coming up for you in this winter period that takes us into 2014. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. The other day, I had started sharing with you some information about LSD and how the CIA was very much involved with research on it. In 1953, there was a full-scale mind control program called Operation MK Ultra. That's right. And they studied the potential effects of hypnosis, electroshocks. That gives me the willies just hearing that. Extrasensory perception, lobotomy, and drugs. Now, this research went on for a good 20 years, cost over $25 million, and this was documented by two men, a Martin Lee and a Bruce Shalen. And this is what they said. Nearly every drug that appeared on the black market during the 60s, marijuana, cocaine, PCP, DMT, speed, and many others, had already been scrutinized, tested, and in some cases refined by the CIA and Army scientists. But the one they were really intrigued with was LSD. In fact, it was LSD-25. It's lysergic acid diethylamide. Now, they were just absolutely gaga over this, and they thought it was going to really revolutionize the cloak and dagger trade, yeah, the spy game. Boy, we human beings really get caught up in the wrong kind of stuff at times, don't we? Now, in 1973, the CIA destroyed most of its files on this MK Ultra project, but there were a few that somehow or another were not destroyed. And it was at that time that Congress and the public learned what the CIA had been doing. Now, to test this, they had set up both secret operations and academic fronts. One of the organizations was the Society for the Investigation of Human Ecology. This was set up at Cornell University Medical School. And they gave grants to institutions in the U.S. and Canada to conduct experiments with LSD. Yep, not making this up. This is real. And it was actually, the LSD project was actually administered by the CIA's technical services staff. And the bad thing about this is that you could be dosed with this stuff and not even know that this was being given to you. Now, that's scary. Thousands of people, we'll never know how many, had involuntarily been given this stuff. They didn't even know it was happening to them. They had a San Francisco operation. It was called the Midnight Climax. And prostitutes were enlisted. Yeah, this happened. They'd spike the men's drinks once they were inside the bordellos in San Francisco. And the CIA observed what happened to these guys. There were black inmates at Lexington Narcotics Hospital. They were given LSD for 75 consecutive days. In gradually decreasing doses. These people didn't stand up and say, hello, include me in this research. The U.S. Army was also involved in this. Nearly 1,500 military personnel served as human guinea pigs in these LSD experiments. They had even had a film on how people were affected when they were doing a drill. So they'll never know exactly how many people were given dosages of LSD, but between 1955 and 1958, there was a whole lot of persons that were subjected to things that they never should have been subjected to, and lawsuits came out that were happening because of this being done to people, and the government had to pay millions of dollars. There was one lawsuit that involved a civilian who, while working for the Army in 1953, was slipped some LSD at a CIA party, and he then jumped to his death from a 10th-story window. Now, they said, oh, he committed suicide. However, that in 1975, there were those people in the government that said he had been intentionally drugged the night he died. So there are so many things sometimes that go on, and it's very hard for us to accept that people do this to people. This isn't some ET out here doing it. It's people doing it to people. And I think it's important that we recognize and pay attention to what's going on in our lives and what we've got around us, and to be alert and to be aware. No one has the right to fool around with your mind, with you as a person. Don't give them permission. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Betty Smith, in her book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. If you ever have a chance to watch the old movie, do. Oh, it is marvelous. I don't know when it was made. Could have been in the 40s, 30s or 40s. Beautiful, beautiful movie. She said if there was only one tree like that in the world, you would think it was beautiful. But because there are so many, you just can't see how beautiful it really is. And I would say that is true about you. You are a part of this magnificent experience in life. You are beautiful. You are special. But you can't see yourself. There's a lot of other people around you, and you may think somebody's superior to you, but they're not. You are you. Enjoy and appreciate who you are. I appreciate you. You need to do the same for yourself. Okay, let's get down to your winter horoscope. Those of you born under the sign of Aries, oh my goodness, these winter months, you are going to find yourself just delighted with the upcoming year. You're going to find that you are going to be willing to reach out for new opportunities. Things are flowing for you. Once you wake up to your own potential, you're going to do phenomenally well. And just know that your financial positioning also is going to improve, because not only do you have the intention and expectation of making more dollars, you're also going to find yourself just absolutely delighted with how your options are going to be much different than you expected. December, this is the time to do your vision board. This is the time for you to ask yourself, what is so important to you? What are your priorities? How do you want these priorities to work with you? Because what's going to happen is that as you go through the month of January, which often for people seems to be a slowdown period, after the intensity of the holidays, well, you're going to find February is your magic month. That's right. A lot of things are going to come together. For those of you under the sign of Taurus, oh my goodness, you have got so many good things happening when it comes to relationships, whether it's personal, business, social. This is a wonderful period for you, because you're going to find that your interaction with others are going to enable you to secure a very strong, stable position financially, emotionally, mentally, even physically. You're going to be very, very happy, and you love to travel. And what I would say to you is look forward to that. And just know that the travel opportunity is going to be available for you. Your budget, you'll work with that, but you're going to have some adventures that I think are going to be very meaningful. And be aware, mechanical things could cause some problems for you. So don't be surprised if you have to replace your refrigerator or some other things. It's just that timing factor. For those of you born under the sign of Gemini, well, social life is picking up speed, and you are going to find that because of good budgeting, you're going to have some extra cash set aside. And if you're wanting financial independence, look, watch, listen. Keep that cash reserve handy. Decide with prudence what it is that you want to do so you can compound your dollar values and see the result within 3 to to 5 years. And also, get outside. You really need to be out of doors so that you get away from this oppressive feeling that sometimes comes over you. Being out of doors, I know it's cold. It's winter, for heaven's sake. That's the way it's supposed to be. Enjoy the out of doors. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Donna here. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.